Shall we open our Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 2? 1 Samuel chapter 2, from whence we did the reading in chapter 1 a few minutes ago. We certainly want to welcome all those who are mothers here today for this Mother's Day service, and everyone else who is interested in honoring mothers today. We want to look in the scripture today at the lives of three or four mothers in the Bible. 1 Samuel chapter 1, we already have had read before us up to verse 20, which is speaking, of course, about Hannah. And if we'll continue the reading from chapter 1, verse 21, 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 21, we read, "And the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned, and then I will bring him that he may appear before the Lord and there abide forever. And Elkanah her husband said unto her, Do what seemeth thee good, tarry until thou hast weaned him. Only the Lord establish his word. So the woman abode and gave her son suck until she weaned him. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bullocks and one ephah of flour and a bottle of wine and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young. And they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshipped the Lord there." Chapter 2, "And Hannah prayed and said, My heart rejoiceth in the Lord. Mine horn is exalted in the Lord, my mouth is enlarged over mine enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. Talk no more so exceedingly proudly, let not arrogance come out of your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty men are broken, and they that stumble are girded with strength. They that were full have hired out themselves for bread, and they that were hungry ceased, so that the barren hath borne seven, and she that hath many children is waxed feeble. The Lord killeth and maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave and bringeth up. The Lord maketh poor and maketh rich. He bringeth low and lifteth up. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust, and lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill, to set them among princes, and to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he has set the world upon them. He will keep the feet of his saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness. For by strength shall no man prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Out of heaven shall he thunder upon them. The Lord shall judge the ends of the earth, and he shall give strength unto his king, and exalt the horn of his anointed." And then verse 18, "But Samuel ministered before the Lord, being a child, girded with an ephod. Moreover, his mother made him a little coat, and brought him it to him from year to year, when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. And Eli blessed Elkanah and his wife, and said, The Lord give thee seed of this woman, for the loan which is lent to the Lord. And they went unto their own home. And the Lord visited Hannah, so that she conceived and bare three sons and two daughters. And the child Samuel grew before the Lord." And the Lord will bless his word to our hearts. What we'd like to do is not just concentrate on Hannah this morning, but also look at some other mothers in the Bible, and particularly think about expressions of joy that they had before God. Songs of mothers in the Bible are a reflection of their feelings, and their feelings are what life is all about. In looking at these four, we see a picture of the Jew, the Gentile, and the Church of God represented in these four women that are before us, and we'll look at each one of them. They give us a picture not only of the feelings of these particular people, but also of the message of the Bible and of what life is all about. Now, the first of these, and we need not turn to each one of the passages, is in Genesis chapter 3, and there we have the mother of all living, which is Eve, the first woman upon the face of the earth. Her song was a song of sadness, because it reflected the tremendous need that came about in that sad home life when sin had entered in the Garden of Eden. And then we'll look at Hannah as we have her before us today, and we'll see her song of salvation as she sung that song of praise unto God for the answer to prayer that he brought into her life. And then there's the song of Deborah, described in Judges as a mother of Israel, the song of victory as she saw the triumph of God over the foes of Israel. And then finally, in the New Testament, there's the song of Mary, the mother of Jesus, which is that Magnificat, the song of thanksgiving and worship and praise unto God. Now, in the first instance, we have Eve, and we're all very familiar, I'm sure, with those first few chapters of Genesis, and particularly Genesis chapter 3, where there was that beautiful garden that God made, and Adam and Eve made in the image of God, put in that garden. They were morally upright. They were innocent. There was no sin there in the garden. They were created to worship and to praise and to have fellowship with God. And that's why you and I are created and have been created in this life. But alas, there was that problem that came, as you know. Though she was made in the image of God, Satan came forth in that garden. And there was that listening of that voice as Satan told those lies and said that if she would eat of that forbidden fruit, she would not die. And she listened to the voice of that serpent, and she added to the commandment of God, or he added to the commandment of God, and she was tempted. And so she fell, and the first sin came into the world. She saw what was good for food, there was the lust of the flesh, what pleased the eyes, the lust of the eyes, and what was desired to make one wise, and there was the path of life that she desired. She took of that forbidden fruit, and she broke the commandment of God, and the first sin came into the world. Sin, of course, is breaking the commandments of God, breaking the laws of God. And that first sin is a representation, of course, of every sin that you and I commit when we break the commandments of God. Not only did Eve sin there in the garden, but there was that defilement of others as she gave to Adam, and both of them sinned and broke the commandments of God. Then there was her shame, along with Adam's, as they both tried to hide from God in that garden to cover up what they had done and the shame of what they were. But then God comes and speaks to her, and she says to God, "The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat." There was what we would call her song to God. Her expression to God, it was an expression of sadness, an expression of honesty, finally, in the sight of God. And her punishment was seen in verse 16 there in Genesis 3. Not only were both of them put out of the Garden of Eden, not to go back into that paradise of God, but the punishment, of course, also was that in childbearing, she would have pain. Adam's punishment, thorns and thistles would grow upon the earth, and that by the sweat of his brow he would have to work the land which had received the curse. Now there was sadness that followed that, of course, when her firstborn Cain was a tiller of the ground, and who later became a murderer. Her other seed, Abel, or her next seed, I should say, Abel, was also one who was killed by the brother Cain. But then there was a note of hope in the story, and that note of hope was that the seed of the woman would bruise the heel of the serpent. And also later on, we see that she had another seed, whose name was Seth. And he was to be the one who would be in the line of the Messiah to come. Now, I believe in the story of Eve, we see a picture of our life, first of all, as we have it in the flesh, outside of Christ. We are born singing the song of sorrow, even as Eve sang it there in the garden. Whether we are a mother or not, we all go through this because the Bible distinctly says that sin comes into our lives at a very early age. That sin is that which produces sorrow in our heart and produces disastrous effects in our family life. And this was true in Eve's life. The Bible teaches that no one has escaped the curse of that first sin, that we are sinners by nature, by choice, and by practice. And it is sin in our personal lives as well as sin in the homes that can bring disruption. There is a sad need in the families of this country today. The family life is broken down. There is crime because of the fact that so many come from broken homes. And there is failure in the life. And as we see in Eve's family, failure came. But the important thing is that God saw that failure and God promised that he would provide for it in the seed of the woman which was to come into the world. Through a mother, someone was to be born who would be that which would be the provision for man's sin and for all of our sin. Of course, God clothed Adam and Eve in that garden, and in the killing of the animal, we see the shedding of blood, which represents for us the fact that there would be one whose blood would be shed, that would be a covering, that would be an atonement for man's sin. In the sad song of Eve, then, we see the need of man manifested, the need of man, the sin problem which is in man's life. We all have that need, but whether we recognize it or not is the question. Do we know that we need someone to help us? Eve couldn't help herself. And Adam and Eve in that garden, as they fell into that transgression, they needed someone else to come and provide for them the covering for sin. Now in the second one, which we've read and we're so familiar with as we've read much of it today, Hannah, we see the song of salvation. The song of sadness in the life of Eve, but now we see the song of salvation in the life of Hannah. Hannah, as we've read here, was one who was very sad because she couldn't have a child. And it was a real matter of concern to her. Her husband loved her. But that wasn't enough to satisfy her. She wanted to have that child. But God withheld it from her. Not only did she have this tremendous need in her life, but there was that adversary who was there. For Elkanah had two wives, as we read. And the other one had children and kept provoking her and making fun of her and laughing at her and saying she was a failure because she wasn't a mother. And so her preoccupation with this, her failure, was that which finally drove her to God. She went to the Lord, and there when they went up to Jerusalem to worship, she prayed to the Lord and she petitioned the Lord on behalf of a child. And she made a promise to God that if she were to have a child, she would give it back, she would lend it to the Lord. And of course, she was misunderstood right away. And the priest Eli thought she was drunk and laughed at her and rebuked her for what she was doing there. But in her heart, she was making her request to God. We see that in Hannah, one who recognized the tremendous need in her life, that she couldn't make it on her own, that she needed the help of God. She went one step further than Eve. Eve recognized that she couldn't make it alone, but Hannah did something about it. She petitioned the Lord. She went to the Lord in prayer. And the Bible says, ask and ye shall find. Seek, knock and it shall be opened unto you. And seek and ye shall find. She prayed to the Lord. And the Lord granted her her petition. And as we've read, she had that little child, Samuel, that was born. She kept her promise to God. She recognized that the child that was given her was from God, and it was only her responsibility to bring it up for the Lord. It was not something that was given to her that she might do with as she pleased, but as she promised, she took the child back to the temple, and there she, at an early age, after it was weaned, she left it there to be brought up in the house of God. And Samuel grew before the Lord to become that mighty prophet in the land of Israel. We see then in Hannah's life, she sung the song of salvation given to us in chapter 2 of 1 Samuel, because the Lord granted her request. and she rejoiced in the Lord. And her horn was exalted in the Lord, and she rejoiced in his salvation because God had granted her request. As a result of her giving the child back to God, God gave her more children, and she was able to raise them for the Lord. Isn't this a wonderful picture of motherhood? As she realized that she was bringing them up for God, and she couldn't do it on her own, but rather she relied upon God, and as she petitioned God, God met the need of her heart. Now God not only saw the sin of Eve and made a promise that someone would come to meet the provision for that sin, but as we see the life of Hannah and the story of Hannah, we see that God provided Hannah with a child. And so we're reminded in the New Testament that God provided a son. A son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful. There was a song sang on the night when the Lord Jesus Christ was born. The angels sang, proclaiming the birth of God's Son come into the world. It is because we come to God in prayer and we ask for God's salvation that God will give to us the salvation that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Hannah could proclaim the joy of her salvation because God answered her prayer. She saw she had a need, and she went to God for that need, and God met that need in his own person. When you and I recognize that we can't save ourselves, that there is failure in our home and in our lives, we need to go to God, as Hannah did, and petition God, and wait upon God. And even though the enemy may come in and ridicule us, even as he did to Hannah, she kept close to the Lord, and the Lord granted her her request. We need to do the same. And when it comes to a matter of personal salvation, we need to come to the Lord. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. When we call upon him for salvation, the Bible says, him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. When we come to him and ask him to come into our lives to save us from our sin, the Lord Jesus will do just that. He'll answer our prayer, and he'll make us a child of God. But then as we go on, we see the third one, which is found in the book of Judges, and that is the story of Deborah. Now Deborah, we don't know for sure whether she was an actual mother. She's described there in that chapter as a mother of Israel, and of course she was one of the judges that ruled Israel in the days when there was no king in Israel, when they didn't recognize that God was their king indeed. Shall we turn to first to Judges? And as we look at some of those verses there, we'll see and be reminded of the story of this woman. Judges, chapter 5. The story of Deborah starts, of course, earlier than this in chapter 4. But her song is sung in chapter 5. Then sang Deborah and Barak the son of Abinadab on that day, saying, praise ye the Lord for the avenging of Israel, when the people willingly offered themselves. Hear, O ye kings, give ear, O ye princes, I, even I, will sing unto the Lord. I will sing praise to the Lord God of Israel. Lord, when thou wentest out of Seir, when thou marchest out of the fields of Edom, the earth trembled, and the heavens dropped, the clouds also dropped waters. The mountains melted from before the Lord, even that Sinai from before the Lord God of Israel. In the days of Shamgar the son of Anath and the days of Jael, the highways were unoccupied, and the travelers walked through byways. The inhabitants of the villages ceased, they ceased in Israel, until that I, Deborah, arose, that I arose, a mother in Israel. They chose new gods, then was war in the gates. Was there a shield or spear seen among 40,000 Israel? My heart is toward the governors of Israel that offered themselves willingly among the people. Bless ye the Lord. Speak ye that ride on white asses, ye that sit in judgment and walk by the way, they that are delivered from the noise of archers and the places of drawing water, there shall they rehearse the righteous acts of the Lord, even the righteous acts toward the inhabitants of his villages in Israel. Then shall the people of the Lord go down to the gates. Awake, awake, Deborah, awake, awake, utter a song, arise, Barak, and lead the captivity captive, thou son of Abinadab. We'll stop reading there for time's sake. Now, Deborah was judge in the time when Sisera, the captain of the king of Cana, oppressed the nation of Israel for 20 years. There was a man named Barak who was sent to lead 10,000 against him to fight. But he wouldn't do it. Instead, he sent Deborah. And Deborah dishonored him by going as a woman in his place. And as a result, someone named Jael, which was a woman, killed Sisera, and the Israelites' war against King Jehu was over. It was Deborah then who led the forces in victory over the forces of the foe, and she sang this song of victory after she was raised up. Her song was a song of a mighty fight that took place and a victory. All the enemies perished, we read in verse 31. And she sang this song because, as a mother of Israel, she was able to lead her charges in a victory against the enemy. She's a mother here, then, a mother of many, who is a picture to us of the victory that we can have as mothers and as people who are the children of God in our Christian experience. Of course, God provided the victory in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. In the life of Eve, there was the picture of sin. In the life of Hannah, there was the picture of the petition and the fact that God would provide someone. In the story of Deborah, we see the fact that God is victorious. And we're reminded that on the cross, the child, who was the seed of the woman, grew up. And it was God's child. It was the Lord God Almighty, the Lord Jesus Christ, who went to the cross that we might be victorious. On the cross of Calvary, the Lord Jesus Christ dealt with the sin problem. He died for your sins. He died for my sins. He died that you and I might have victory over sin, that we might have victory in our family life. He died that you and I might know the experience and joy of salvation that Deborah sang about here because of the victory of God over his foes. There was an adversary in Hannah's life. In Deborah's life, we see the victory over that adversary because the Lord Jesus Christ is able to conquer sin and defeat the foe. In our Christian experience, you and I can know the fullness of joy and the victory that is in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. If we, like Deborah, will be able to take the part that God has given to us and to allow the Lord to work in our lives and produce the victorious fruit that he wants to produce in our lives. In the fourth one, we have the story of Mary, the mother of Jesus. And in Luke 1, 46 through 55, we see the story, the song, it's often referred to as the Magnificat. It's the story of her praise unto God after the birth, or before the birth, of the Lord Jesus. Luke 1, verse 46. And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And we could continue reading there, but for time's sake we'll stop. Mary, of course, is rejoicing. We ought to mention that Mary was chosen by God to be that vessel to whom the Lord Jesus Christ would be put in her womb and would come forth into this world. She is referred to as the mother of Jesus, but never the mother of God. And she is the one who was able to bring the Messiah through God into the world. She was blessed with this child. And in verse 38 of this same chapter, Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. She was simply a handmaid of the Lord. Mary's humility is seen in that verse. And in the verse we just read a minute ago, verse 47, she said she rejoiced in God her Savior. She too was a sinner like all else and recognized that the Lord Jesus was coming into the world as her Savior as well as the Savior of the world. But in this song, she gives thanks. She magnifies the Lord. She rejoices in the Lord. She recognizes the holiness of this person who will be born. She recognizes the mercy of God and the strength of God. And she recognizes also that this one will come to fill the mouth of the hungry. Here we see then a song of thanksgiving and worship as Mary recognizes what God has done in the promise that was given to Eve long ago. The seed of the woman would come into the world through her, even the Lord Jesus Christ. God would provide his own sacrifice for sin that would meet the sin problem that entered in the Garden of Eden years before. Mary became a great servant of the church. We read in Acts that she was with those in the church, and she was, of course, one who knew the Lord Jesus personally and one who will be in the heavenly places in the church of God. And in her life, we see then that which should follow our experience with our Lord Jesus Christ in taking him as our Savior and in knowing the victory that we can experience in our lives, that is, thanksgiving and worship unto God. Mary then is a picture of that to us. She thanked God for what he was doing, and she was able to worship God in her own heart. So we see then in these women of the Bible, as they sang these songs unto God, a picture of what life is all about, the sin problem that must be dealt with. As we realize that we can't help ourselves, Eve couldn't save herself. She needed to rely upon God's provision, the seed of the woman. In the life of Hannah, we saw one who had to go to God and petition God and pray to God that she might find the answer to her tremendous need. In the life of Deborah, we see the need met, as in her life, the strength of God is realized and she's able to win the victory over the foes of Israel. And in the life of Mary, we see one who is worshiping the Lord and giving thanks for the victory that he has given us. Well, may we, in this day, take lessons from these women of the Bible and come to our blessed God and our Lord Jesus Christ and find in him the every need of our lives and experience the victory and the joy that these women also experienced.